Escape to summer with Victoria's Secret's just arrived collection of swim and other sun ready silhouettes.
Pack your bags with new styles from the Very Sexy collection, like the made to be seen Very Sexy push-up bra in on-trend hues like green, citron, and black shine.
Rewind to the future with the VS Archive swim collection, inspired by Victoria's Secret's classic looks from the 90s and early 2000s.
Plus, mix and match with their wide range of bikini tops and bottoms to find your dream suit.
Shop now at your closest Victoria's Secret store or online at victoriassecret.com.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world.
The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league, starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill.
FX's Clip, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
For the love, there is nothing worse than shaving your legs. A total game changer to my beauty routine is Nair. That is right, the OG hair removal. Nair saves me so much time, and the best part is no nicks, no cuts, and you will have smooth skin for days. You have to make sure to check out Nair's new sensational shower creams and body creams. My favorite shower cream is the Moroccan Argan Oil and Orange Blossom. The scent creates the ultimate pampering experience. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
Two Teas in a Pod with Teddy Mellencamp and Tamara Judge.
Hi guys, welcome to another episode of Two Teas and a Pod with myself and
Tamara Judge.
And we have our very own Alex Baskin here. He submitted a very serious photograph.
It's very Zoolander.
It's very Zoolander. It's,
with friends like these.
It's including sex appeal.
And I like the tan too. He's very tan. He's, you know, he's normally pasty white in person.
A touch of a smirk because he's up to no good. His bio reads, Alex Baskin, CEO of the newly launched 32 Flavors Entertainment, is the executive producer of long-running hit shows, including The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, The Real Housewives of Orange County, Vanderpump Rules, and Botch, as well as forthcoming series for, among others, Netflix, Hulu, and Paramount Plus, as well as feature films. As the president of Evolution Media, he oversaw more than four dozen series during his tenure. Along with his business partner,
amazing.
Sold the company to MGM in 2017.
I would like to see the Twats in there as one of your shows that you're producing.
Oh, yeah. The new Twat show. Yeah.
I am. I'm very excited. You guys make guest appearances.
I did.
We don't.
I did.
Okay.
So 32 flavors. Can you just set the record straight? Did your family own 31 flavors?
Well,
Alex Baskin.
Alex
Baskin.
I mean, my God, this is the hot seat. I just want to tell you, too, that this is ground zero of my misery. You guys caused me more problems. And this show and its popularity has become
just answer the question.
Issue. So, okay, thank
Baskin
you.
Robbins.
Oh, my God. No, my dad's uncle founded Baskin Robbins.
My dad's uncle says, so pretty much Not as me. Related as Heather Gay is to Whitney
me.
Rose.
To me.
Or to Tamara.
Yeah.
How much.
But you guys are scandalizing this. I mean, you're, you know.
That's what we do for a living.
I know.
Alex.
I mean, the company.
Just like what you do to us. Just well, like you do to us.
Don't treat me like
no,
that.
No, you realize I didn't know this until I asked Kyle. I go, is this actually Alex's email? And she goes, yes, Teddy, Baskin, like you didn't get that? And I was like, no, we didn't.
Yes, it's a play on the company that I play no role in. Yeah. That's exactly. That's,
31 flavors.
I can confirm that. But we added one more flavor.
You.
Yes, that's exactly.
Yeah.
And I am enough.
You are enough. Are you Twizzler flavor? Is that or Diet Coke?
Love those Twizzlers. Cannot get it off.
But you also have a podcast coming out.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, it's going to be big competition. Are you in TV and film? What's your?
There's more to come on that. But podcast launches November 14th, and it's behind the scenes of Bravo shows because so many other people are telling the story, and there's so much bullshit out there that the idea was. Let's actually start telling the story ourselves. And So my first guests include none other than Tamra Judge.
Yay.
Kyle is one of my guests, shooting a bunch more right now. And so I'm excited.
Are you enjoying it?
I'm having fun with it. I'm having more fun than I thought because I have a very hard time listening to myself or watching myself.
So right.
You can take a look at the cuts at first.
Well, we've had this conversation before. You do not like to see yourself.
I don't.
In front of the camera. You've always been behind the camera. Is this the first time you've been in front of the camera?
Well, I've made appearances in things like retrospectives about the shows and stuff like that.
Yes.
But I've never, never in sort of this capacity. I've never really been interested in doing it and being self-conscious. And who wants to look at and listen to?
Well, you're going to be a superstar.
Well,
I don't know about that.
We'll superstar.
But are you going to listen to your own episodes and essentially produce them yourself?
I've had to. So I was not going to. And I was adamant about that. And I let everyone involved know that. And then when notes were flying back and forth about the episodes, I was like, well, shit, I gotta weigh in and I can't unless I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. See, we cannot listen to ourselves. We like to stick our heads in the sand and pretend that whatever we said or did.
I've always been like that.
Well, see, I don't have a luxury of not listening to you guys because once again, the number of complaints that I get, that's exactly it, is you guys are nothing but trouble. I've given Amy Sugarman shit about it.
Is it cast members on... Or is it across the board, different franchises?
Oh, it's across the board. It's cast, it's production, it's the network. Like, you guys have it all covered.
Well, I
had to squash the beef quite a few times on, I think it airs tonight at BravoCon. And I said, Andy, why me every time? And he goes, because you're the one with a podcast.
Yeah. And let me tell you, you guys do not have a podcast because you are meek and you don't have opinions.
Tamra always has opinions, but her biggest opinion is that I cause more shit than her. And I want to know, is that actually accurate?
I mean, that is like, six of one, half dozen of another. I don't know what to say. I think you guys are both assholes.
Teddy causes more problems online.
That's probably true. I would say Tamara's more dangerous in the moment, but then, you are absolutely committed to
what if I think something is accurate?
Yeah.
She will not let it go.
I will not let it go.
Yeah.
But if somebody will actually show me a touch of kindness or be a regular functioning human being with me, I can let it go. Like, me and Tamara can have issues.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we can let it go.
Right.
Alex, what are your thoughts on Teddy squash the beef with Vicky?
Oh, God. I just said we weren't talking about this anymore. I even used the Taylor Armstrong. Enough.
Well, I was surprised and not surprised when I heard that. And so I mean, you came out firing.
Well, she had already, I heard her say, she's disgusting. She's pathetic. I was told, do not bring up January 6th. The first thing that she does is go, let's talk about January 6th.
I told you that was going to happen. She brought it up on the carpet, the red carpet. And her and I got into an argument on the red carpet. So I go, be prepared. She's going to bring that up.
Here's the thing. I would have been happy to squash that beef if she would have just come out and for once. And
would you? Do you believe that, Alex?
Oh, please. You're saying you would have been the bigger person if she had been the bigger person? I mean, you just canceled her.
I did have to cancel her in that moment. You are currently the executive producer of Orange County, Beverly Hills, Vanderpump Rules. But how did you get your start in all of this?
I interned at MTV out of high school, and I fell in love with the business. And then I had a detour in law school and loved law school, met some great people, but knew that's not what I wanted to do because I just was bored by it. And I looked at successful partners at the firms that I worked for and thought, not for me. And I had met Doug Ross from Evolution years before. And he had said, look, give me a call if you ever want a job. And so I did, remembered me, brought me on. And then we started doing a sleepy little show called The Real Housewives of Orange County. And that took off. And
I have a quick question. Yeah. Were your parents thrilled that you went to law school and you decided, I'm going to go into reality
TV. Start your life with Slade Smiley.
I will say that when I considered dropping out of law school, my parents made me promise them that I would finish it. And so then I held up my end of the bargain. And I think they were thinking, that's not what we had in mind.
Yeah.
We didn't think that she would head off in that direction.
But how often does being a lawyer actually help in what you're doing, especially with this group of people?
Unfortunately, but it is the training that I would recommend that everyone gets more than film school, that's for sure.
Yeah, I get free legal advice from him all the time.
Yes.
Well, Alex, what do I do now?
Yeah.
Can I say this? Is this defamation?
Pretty much he's like, be quiet. And we're like, yes, we're not listening.
That's the advice every time. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you watch any other franchises other than the ones that you produce?
Occasionally, I will dip in and dip out of other franchises. I watch a lot of other kinds of programming, but it's not as much fun for me to watch the shows because I feel like I, you know how they're made. And so I can see the notes that went into them. And
yeah.
So it's not a, you know, relaxing experience for me.
Now, can you explain your role now? Because originally you were owner and you have sold in the past 5 years.
Yeah.
How are things different? Are you still involved in Evolution?
I'm not involved in Evolution, but I'm involved in all the shows. And so my role really hasn't changed. The difference is instead of running that company, I run my own and then all my new series run through my company and these series are co-productions. And so I still do everything that I did before, which is, you know, creative oversight and you know, oversight over the entire production. So that's everything from production management to the deals, to the creative, all that stuff.
Do you potentially see 32 Flavors taking over Orange County or Beverly Hills? Is it a goal?
I don't really think in those terms. I just sort of, you know, think about continuing to be a part of the shows. And I agreed to do that for the foreseeable future. And so, you know, that's sort of that. And then a lot of my time is spent on the new projects as well.
And then how much are you still involved in like the casting or the editing or any of those types of things?
A lot. I mean, in the way that I always have been, but I will say too, because I don't want to, you know, appear as though I'm taking a bunch of credit because I work with some of the most skilled people, you know, that I could possibly want to be on a team with.
Yeah.
And so day to day, a lot of that is taken by people who've made the shows for a long time, but I'm as involved as I was before I made the move, before I ventured out onto my own.
Yeah. Now the social media fans are very just hard on us, right? They're hard on us. They tell you who they hate. They tell you who they love. Does that have any reflection on what decisions are made? Does Bravo or production look at that and go, oh, well, you know what? They really hate Tamara. Should we get rid of her?
Well, we're aware of it, but I don't think it's one-to-one with what we do. And Bravo conducts their own research.
I might get another season.
If you treat me well.
Are you saying I didn't treat you well?
No, you know, you were a little bit rude. I remember you didn't have a Diet Coke for me at one point. So
Jay.
Oh, okay. Sorry, my timeline might be off. Sorry. So I'll apologize at the reunion. But I we're aware of the fact too that the audience responds strongly sometimes to people who are very involved in story. And so we sort of filter all of that out, but it's hard to tune it out completely, you know? So, and you can't get to the point where the audience just does not want to watch someone anymore or someone is completely on the outs from the group, but we don't make decisions by, you know, the extreme nature of social media at any given point.
Yeah. Andy made a comment years ago. He said, when the fans love to hate you versus hate to hate you.
Yes.
Is all the difference.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think that you kind of know when you cross that line. So that
I teeter on that line. Up, down.
Yeah, it's a tightrope.
Do you, and I mean, I already know the answer, I think, to this, but do you pick favorites?
No, I mean, you really try not to. And I always say this, that I think that you have to treat everyone equally and fairly, but you treat everyone differently in the sense that everyone's a different person, right? And so my conversations with different cast are different, but we never go into a season knowing who's going to have a good season, who's going to have a bad season. And we never try to help someone out or, you know, ding someone else. And that isn't the case.
But do you ever feel like there is a way that you could potentially show more of a potential person, but you don't because it doesn't behoove what image you want to portray for that person?
No, I mean, we don't have a narrative in advance.
Well, like people are saying, okay, Crystal, this was cut out this year, or this was cut out this year, of things that we saw on social media. Is any of that planned? Or we just were talking about it on the pod. We're like, okay, we know she had another party.
Well, and I said, they can't play everything. They
right.
Can't show. We don't.
And it costs us a lot of money to not use something, right? So when you cut something out, it's because you had to make other decisions.
Right.
Well, I would say she had a party in Vegas. Do we need to show another party in LA?
That's right. I mean, that's our thinking. So our thinking is, you know, we wanted to get to Vegas quickly.
Yeah.
So it's all of those things, but you never, you know, I shouldn't say never, you very rarely shoot something with an intention of not using it. And you, it isn't like you don't, if something interesting happens, you know, you're going to use it.
Right.
Right. I mean, you know, and then you just make a bunch of decisions. And to Tamara's point, like you have to cut stuff out.
And sometimes you'll end up using, just from my guess, is sometimes you guys end up using stuff that's not as interesting, but it tells the story of what's coming next.
It puts the pieces together.
Right.
That's right. It's connective tissue.
It's a puzzle. Yeah.
Yeah.
So was there a wife you weren't sure of, like when you first saw a video or anything, that actually ended up being a breakout hit or an amazing housewife that really caught you off guard?
Well, I think that the casting tapes, Tamara and I talked about this, you know, a little bit a couple weeks ago. I think that the casting tapes are one thing. And then I think when you put someone in play, I think it's a different thing altogether. And then I also think that people grow into themselves. And I think that, you know, they can get better with experience. Like I think Emily Simpson is so found herself.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes it takes people a few years to get their feet on the ground and like, okay, I'm doing this. And then they're very protective of themselves. And then there's other ding dongs like me that just go for it.
Yeah. You were made for this.
Yeah.
Well, is there anyone, in your opinion, that did get away too soon that actually could have?
Oh, sure. I think that there's plenty of people that I think didn't have enough of a shot. I think that, you know, for example, Carlton in Beverly Hills, I think came in a tough season. And I think, and may or may not have been a fit for the show, but I think she did, you know, everything that she could have done to make it work. And I think that was a tough season. I'm trying to think of who else.
Oh, the 100th housewife.
The Peggy. There you go. Yeah.
I'm joking.
Yeah. There's but I, off the top of my head, I can't think of anyone, but I do think that, look, I think in time, I think, it is something that you grow into.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you explain to listeners what goes through the process of finding a wife and how is it difficult?
Really hard. I mean, we will, the first thing we do is we reach out to all of the wives and ask them, you know, who they might have for us. And they
like either, I did 5 years ago with Jen Pedrante and a list of other girls from my gym.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yep. Yeah, so, thank you so much.
That worked out really well for Sam.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who else do you have? So
Teddy Mellencamp.
Oh my God.
Tam is pitching.
I am. I have been.
Always slanging.
Two T's and an orange. But so that those are the first conversations that we have. And then we try to look in and around the places that people hang out and, you know, stalk social media. And sort of find out who is in different friend groups. And it's that kind of thing. And the amazing thing to me is all these years later that we're still finding new people. And we will find good friends that someone did not put in front of us. So I was like, you know, so then we'll interview someone in casting. We'll find out they will be a good friend of one of the housewives who has never offered up this person. And then they'll say, like, oh, I hadn't even thought about her. Like, yeah, because you didn't want her on the show.
Yeah. Or certain people are going through different things in their life that they may not necessarily want to show. So at one point they're going to say hard no, I would never do that.
That happens a lot.
Know what else happens a lot? People said, oh, I was offered to be the next housewife.
Oh, I hear that all the time.
All of the time.
That drives me insane. It's completely untrue. We've offered very few people who have not taken it the job. So they may have had outreach from a casting person who may have said, is this something you would consider? And then, you know, nine times.
Right. And they think they got the job.
That's exactly. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. How many people have you offered a position and they turned it down as a full-time housewife? Has it ever happened?
I would say 90% of the time, maybe higher, they take the job.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
And is this the first time this season on Beverly Hills that you guys have aired that a housewife sent an email that they have quit the show?
No, I mean, I could make a coffee table book out of people quitting the show. So that's the first time we've aired it, but it's not the first time that it's happened.
But is it the first time that then the person that has actually followed through with it?
Yeah, I mean, I think at that point, I think that I talked to her months after she sent that. And I think that, you know, look, I think that it was kind of time for her.
Impulsive, right? Don't you think it was kind of impulsive?
I think that it was. But I also think that I think the show had been really hard for her. And I think that, you know, she had worked her ass off on it and I think given a lot to it. And I do think that she was fundamentally done. I think there was a conversation about her continuing, but I don't think that that's what she wanted to do at that point in her life. And I think it made sense there. And I, you know, will miss someone like Lisa Rinna because if she was so good on the show and made such
so good.
Was on the show for a long time, right? Yeah. And I remember, so she's someone that was actually better than I thought that she might be because I thought that she was like a talk show guest. And I thought that, you know, she would be kind of controlled.
And an actress. The show.
That's what actress. I thought. That's exactly. Yeah. We didn't used to bring actresses onto the show. And it was something we deliberately didn't do on Beverly Hills because Kyle and Kim were actresses, but they weren't
currently in it.
You know, in that wasn't sort of how they identified, you know, at that point in time. And, you know, but Rinna in the best way was fantastic on the show.
Can we ask a question about breaking the fourth wall? Because I feel like it has significantly, we see it more and more now across the board, which I love watching it anytime it happens. But the first time that I had ever felt it was that season that I was on with Denise.
Yeah.
And she bravo's it. But she probably did that, I don't know, 30 times throughout the season, anytime.
Well, so my policy on breaking the fourth wall is pretty simple. We shouldn't do it unless it enhances the show, right? And so you kind of do not want to be self-conscious about it. And it's super annoying when someone is just looking into the camera or acting as though they're on their own show and everyone else is on Housewives. But I think if you need to break the fourth wall to tell the story, then you do. Or if there's a fun moment, then you do. So I think as long as you don't set out to do it, and as long as it helps you sort of, you know, sharpen the story and it makes it more real, then you do it.
Oh, like the Pretty Woman moment with Dorit. Like you barely broke the fourth wall, but it made it funnier and it made it more dramatic. But it didn't seem like you guys were out to trap anybody in a situation.
Exactly.
Or Shannon throughout her season in Orange County. I feel like we saw more production than we saw Shannon.
Yeah, well, you know, they could have been in the main titles with her.
Well, she did a lot of things, you know, off camera. Well, call it off camera, but in front of production. So I think that they had every opportunity to show it. I'm like, have you not learned anything?
Are you saying
anything?
They could have shown worse?
Yes, they could.
But I think it was part of the story, right? I mean, and so that's why we showed it.
Yeah. Have you ever had to demote a housewife to a friend?
Yeah.
How'd that go?
It's really hard because it's, you know, becomes a pride factor. There's always a concern that the housewife will be treated differently in the group. Mm-hmm. Right. And so it's tough.
Did you get paused or did you get demoted?
But for the record, I did not get offered a friend role. I got offered. It was three episodes to close me out.
Well, because
close out just three episodes. Done. By the way, I found out through the Daily Mail, so F off, Tam.
Well, he ruined my vacation, so.
Well, you should have had better self-service.
And we talk about that. I don't want to talk too much about it because we actually talk about
this.
We
get into it.
On your podcast.
Yeah.
How much behind the scenes are you going to expose on your new show?
Well, I mean, we want to open up what really happens so that there's an understanding of it because there's so much speculation, conspiracy theories run rampant. You got a lot of assholes running their mouths. And so the idea is to talk about as much of it as we can. Obviously, there's an amount of, you know, decorum that I need to maintain. And so there's things I would love to say that sometimes I have to think the better of. Right. But the idea is, you know, to give real insight into how the shows are actually made and what happens, because there's a lot, things like hirings and firings and what happened in kind of some of the most buzzed about moments. So that's the idea about it. And it really is also a conversation between the people who are on the shows and the people who make the shows. And I think seeing the relationships between them is important.
How quickly after Tam got the boot, did you guys realize you needed her back?
Well, we knew that there would be a big hole without her, right? I mean, she was such an important part of the show. So it felt like at the time that it was one of those necessary things that would hurt us, and it did. And I had a really hard time with it. And, you know, my hope had been, well, we could, you know, kind of talk, we could talk through it and figure it out, and you would stay a part of the show. But we talk about this, you know, on my podcast as well. You really hated doing the show at that point.
Yeah, so I was checked out, and I was going through a lot at the time too. So
yeah,
it was like, and I say it's like, it's a blessing. It was a blessing that happened. You know, the kid's dad had cancer. I was trying to help out with that. And my kids really needed me even more at that moment, like all the time. And so it was best that I didn't.
And I still felt like we had you because we did a lot of talking about you.
Oh, yeah, and every goddamn episode.
And every single time, like, Tamra would rail on about the show. Tamra's like, the other thing is, you would complain about what we actually aired and then what you heard that we aired.
Yeah, because I didn't watch.
Would tell you about. I know.
So would Eddie, you text Alex?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I
try to like play. I really have to wait to like be in a real bad way to then send that text to Alex. Like, I'm like, Do I do it? I'm like, see me again. Shit, they did that again. But then I'm like, nope, I'm holding it in.
I've always had a really close relationship with Alex. Like, I know that I can always pick up the phone and call him. I can text him at any time. I know that he got frustrated with me a few times because I was being very vocal. And I had a conversation with Andy, and he's like, well, Tamra, you're out there talking shit. I go, Andy, you're airing shit about me. Do you think in any world that I'm going to keep my mouth shut? And he's like, note taken.
Yeah.
Sometimes the best housewives are the worst ex-housewives.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense.
For sure. And I always told Alex, I'm like, if you ever fire me, I'm just going, I'm gone. You'll never hear from me again. Yeah. That worked out well.
Riding off in that Harley.
Yeah. Riding off in that sunset.
Then it
that-
took one phone call from me. Hey, Tam, want to make some extra money and come two cheese in a pod and talk about the show?
My nightmare. In a parallel universe, we should have worked it out and none of us would be here.
Yeah.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world.
The series charged the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league, starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill.
FX's Clip, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabrielle Collins, and this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? Meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. I sit down with Nicola Coughlin, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then, fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season 1, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave. And then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season 1, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We just watched season 1 of The OC, and we're currently watching season 1 of Beverly Hills.
An eternity ago.
I mean, one, even just the production value and what, like, it, or the fact that at the reunion, they're just, they're pretty much wearing what I'm wearing, but like even more casual.
OC, let's talk about OC.
Yeah. I mean, OC, it was even more so. Yeah.
You watch it and it looks like it was from 30 years ago.
Yeah, it does. Yeah,
it's time grainy. Capsule. The clothes they're wearing, there's zero glam. There's, I mean, but I'm surprised it went forward.
But people are saying, oh, the show is so, you know, watching, you know, Housewives is so toxic. I'm like, if you go back and watch the beginning, there was way more difficult things being discussed on Orange County and Beverly Hills than now. I mean, now, I mean, whether Sutton goes on, you know, two or three dates versus what happened with Russell or
I think that where I have nostalgia for the old days is that a lot of it was about what was going on in everybody's lives. And I think the hard thing now, and the thing that we try to steer away from, but, you know, still kind of ends up popping up, is that a lot of it is about the dynamics between the, there's a lot of gotcha stuff, right? So there's a lot of knowing something about someone, and then that becomes an issue where it isn't, it to me, in its pure form, it's about everyone's individual spheres and their lives, and then how the group comes together.
Right.
I think it's changed. I think it's much more of a contact sport now than it was, especially the early days of OC.
Yeah.
Right. And I mean, in the first season of OC, the women barely got together. It was a big deal, you know.
No, they got together with other friends that weren't even cast members. I felt like there was no arguing, no fighting until season 3.
That's weird. What happened then?
I don't know. And I don't even know what gave me the balls to go on to a show. Like, I've never had any experience in TV. I was just, you know, pretty much a stay-at-home mom that did real estate part-time with a very controlling husband. For me, I mean, I've always had a mouth. But to just get in there and like, did you go to Bass Lake and the arguing and all that? I'm like, I was very ballsy back then.
Yeah, no, you took to it right away.
You took to it. Do you think that there's ever any, because we were just talking about before we even started how Tamara will let things go.
Yeah.
Do you think there's any former OC person she will never be able to let it go with?
Well, obviously, I think the most deep-seated issues are Tamara and Gretchen. So I think that would be the one that would be the toughest. Otherwise, I don't. I think you could probably at some point bury the hatchet with everyone else.
Yeah.
I mean, I have. I buried the hatchet with Alexis Bellino at BravoCon, and we talked. No, the Gretchen stuff's too deep. Like, you know, once you start calling, reaching out to my children, you're dead to me.
I bet you that you guys could at some point down the line, but maybe next season.
You want to start that rumor now?
Next season.
Yeah.
When she has a center orange and you're on the side where you just got
I know, right?
I want this to be clickbait.
Okay, it's going to be clickbait now.
Oh,
thank
God,
you
I
so much.
This. I love your podcast now.
Well, I
did I
say
you? I hated it?
You're such a dick.
Me?
Not you.
Or Alex.
Alex. He always knows what to say to make me happy.
Well, he's probably not going to make me happy right now, but I have to ask it. It's on the rundown.
Okay.
Why'd I get fired?
Oh, shit.
Oh, God. That's tough. I think that... I mean, and also you, by the way, like your like eyes are.
She's like 10 inches from you.
We're also friends and going to lunch after this. So he's
I was like, I'm thinking about my lunch.
Just be honest, Alex. Yeah. We just want your honest answer.
Just be authentic. Your authentic self and to answer in a way that you would in real life.
I think that, what would I say? I think a couple of things. I think there was strong audience reaction to you.
Yeah.
So I do think that was part of it. I'm not going to deny that. And I also think that you were self-conscious.
Yeah.
She's very in her head.
That's right.
Yeah.
Where I felt bad was obviously that was the year where you were pregnant, whatever. And I will also say this, the production always had your back, was a big fan of yours because you would say things that other people were thinking and wouldn't say. And so I think there was that. But I think that, I think it felt like then on that show, you weren't comfortable in your own skin. I think that was the issue.
And I think, if we would have actually dived into why I'm not comfortable in my own skin and those bigger issues, those are the things.
That's like breaking the eighth wall though.
No, but that's what I want to know that shit. Not about me. I'm not
that's
saying
a, that's
me,
a whole not, that's a whole nother show.
But yeah. I think when we start to see the breakdown of marriages or relationships or friendships, I don't want to just read it. I want to feel it. Like, that's why I think we are seeing a different side of Erica. Like, because finally all that shit happened, we got to see a different side of her.
Well, I think that's a really good point. And I think because that goes to what we were saying before about also investing in the group that's on the show, because I think it's life-changing to do the show. And I think people do get better at it. I think they grow into it. Other than, I mean, sure, there's a million counterpoints of people who are open and honest at first and then buy into all the audience bullshit and don't give a real version.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, so that happens, right? Because there's the scientific principle that you change the thing you're studying by studying it. And so that can happen. But I think otherwise, especially once you have a real group, I think then, you know, you want to take advantage of that, the fact that people grow close together. And you know, so it's a, you have those real dynamics and you want to examine someone's life and you have more of a chance to do that over a period of time.
And how often do you think housewives that you currently work with really pander to Twitter or what the audience is saying?
I would love to say not at all, but I think that, you know, it's the constant challenge of the show is to eliminate all of that noise. And the early seasons of Orange County did not have any of that. There wasn't that.
We had MySpace.
That's right. Yeah.
MySpace and Facebook. That was it.
And the Bravo blogs, remember those?
Oh, those were horrible.
Horrible comments that Bravo had to turn off. And so, I mean, that's the biggest thing that we try to get people to do is not to take the temperature on what's going on social media and then calibrate what they do based on that, because that doesn't read well. And also the audience can be really fickle, right? I mean, so they can say one thing to you and then once you buy into it, then they resent you for doing what you thought they wanted you to do.
Well, we're fickle from week to week watching all the different shows. Like one week I'll be like, I can't stand her. And then the next week I'm like, we love her. She's our new favorite housewife to watch. So
you're only as good as this week's episode.
Well, my dad, who was a scripted writer, had said to me, reality TV is sports for women. And I think that's true. You have rooting interests and you get.
I didn't know that about your dad.
Yeah. He wrote for a bunch of shows.
So you come from a family in the
ice cream
business.
And writers.
Cream and writers.
That's right. Jamocha Almond script.
Oh my God.
Are you a fan of bringing back past housewives?
I am.
Recycling the ladies.
Well, I am to a point. I think that it can be lazy. And so I also think that I think shows have to progress. And I think sometimes they can with past cast members. And I think I've been taking you, for example, where you still had all those relationships within the group and beyond the fact that, you know, you're iconic to that franchise. So that made sense to me. But I think sometimes we can reach back where we should be looking forward.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then what about once somebody does something to production or to whatever and kind of crosses that line, how do you then get to that place of going, okay, we're going to forgive that, or we will bring this person back? Because there has been housewives throughout that really have, you think this pause is actually forever. Like there are certain, and then all of a sudden they pop back in.
Well, there are very few red lines. And whenever create them, then we don't always hold to them. So it's like, if this person does this, if this person treated production a certain way, you can move on, you can get over it. And it's just like, you know, Tamara, I'm sure your feelings about never coming back, right, at first, and you're like, I'm never going to do it. And then you get over it, right? And life goes on.
It's like childbirth.
Yeah. So
after a while, you forget about it.
And then you decide to have another kid.
You decide to do it again.
Do this?
Yeah.
So, but I think that's, but I think it's really circumstantial. I think then there are other things that aren't forgivable. And there are things where, you know, if we're really just ultimately not on the same team or it's someone that we can't trust, then you can't bring them back. You shouldn't bring them back.
Right.
Yeah. If they always had fake storylines and things like that, like they, borrowed a Rolls Royce and said it was a birthday present.
I feel like she might be alluding to someone.
I have no idea what she's talking about.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world.
The series charged the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league, starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill.
FX's Clip, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabrielle Collins, and this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? Meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. I sit down with Nicola Coughlin, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then, fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season 1, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season 1, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's switch gears to Vanderpump Rules.
Oh,
let's do
yes.
it.
Yes. Where were you at the moment when you found out about Sandoval? Scandoval, I should say.
I had a lunch. So the whole like timeline of events is that Ariana had texted our talent producer the whole thing. So basically,
like screenshots
about what had happened. So basically, okay.
So you don't get to see the video.
Never seen that. Do not even know anything about that. And it's great to be able to say that. So she texted him on a Thursday because she had just, sort of found Sandoval's phone, or it had fallen out of his pocket on that Wednesday night late. Found on Thursday, talent producer was trying to confirm a shoot at their house. She's like, well, let me tell you, here's where we are. Here's what happened. And then talent producer called the showrunner, and showrunner called me.
Because why did they say it was like done filming?
Because we were already done with production.
Okay, so it was just like a pickup or something.
Well, yeah, we were completely. So I mean, we had wrapped, and we had 3 weeks until the reunion. I mean, and that's where we picked up cameras right away. Right. And we found out, because our big point to the network was, look, this isn't just something we should talk about at the reunion. This is really going to, completely shatter all of these relationships.
Right.
So we need to pick up the cameras.
Did you have any idea when you were kind of watching back the season prior, like now watching in hindsight, they were like, oh my gosh, how did we miss this?
Well, I mean, we knew there were a million rumors about them over time. And even on that season, the reason that nobody believed us, but that we didn't know, or we didn't have to do any re-editing and, seven episodes, you know, were locked at that point, was this had come up as a rumor, right? And so there was a question, are they in an open relationship, or, you know, what is going on between the two of those? So that was all there. I just didn't believe it.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, in your world, you probably hear rumors
all the time,
all day long.
Right.
All day long. Now, there was a rumor, speaking of rumors, that Vanderpump Rules was getting ready to be canceled.
That isn't true. So so to clarify the record on that, we had a really tough season nine of that because we were really impacted by two things. I mean, one is there was a cast shakeup, right? And so there were a bunch of mainstays that were no longer part of that group.
Right.
And then COVID really hurt that show because it was a show about people who were social, up and out all the time. And
yeah.
No, and it was, and it really was, season nine was a tough season. That was a labor. But once we had the pickup for season 10 and we got into it, that was a very strong season regardless. And people, you know, thought that was sort of a renaissance season and the ratings were good. Now, Scandoval, you know, completely elevated that into a different stratosphere. But but the show was, you know, in pretty good health.
And then what do you think that, because clearly there's been, I don't know, 16 podcasts that Bethany did with Raquel, Rachel, about this. And, you know, she kind of contradicts herself back and
just
forth.
Just a few times.
Just a few thousand times. Where it's like, I would never want to do it, but it's because I wasn't paid what this person was paid. Like, do you think there would have been, like, do you think she should have come back?
I do. I do. I think that I think a large part of her wanted to. We had numerous conversations about it. I think she was really conflicted. I think she had a really good offer in front of her. And I think that that might have been a good place for her to be heard. And I think that, you know, look, I think we always treated her with respect and we would have continued to do so. And we wanted what was best for her. And
one of the producers, we just saw it, said like, we always liked working with her. She was super nice. I mean, who knows? It's on like, I forget, somebody named Shiana,
who from Bravo. I mean, we had a good relationship with her. I mean, until all of this happened, and it wasn't that that relationship was even particularly strained, but there were a lot of people that were speaking on her behalf.
Right.
And I think she's someone who can be influenced. And I think that that's what happened. And I thought, you know, look, I think about the Bethany interview exactly what you would think that I do. I think that there is, I'm all in favor of Rachel speaking out. I think she should speak her piece. I think that there were, you know, grave and gross inaccuracies there.
And it was very self-serving to one person and not the other.
I had a hard time with that. And I couldn't watch the whole thing, but I mean, I, you know, certainly know all about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I listened to it. It was very frustrating. I have to believe that you guys talk about her, not you, but the show, the cast talks about her a lot in next season.
I would say it isn't a focal point in the sense that we really try to move on from the people who aren't there and there's plenty for us to cover, but we have to acknowledge, you know, that she's not there. And also that group was reading the same things that everyone else was about her, you know, in the media and whether she would come back and all of that stuff. But I think the biggest thing is, I just think that it's not so much what everyone else says about her. And I think they actually show a lot of compassion toward her because I think their feelings about her at the reunion were one thing.
Yeah.
And they just needed time.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that they would have welcomed her back in the way that they would have, not everyone, but I think that, you know, they would have tried to move forward. And I think that she did herself a disservice. And that's her decision to make. But from my point of view, I think it would have served her well to come back.
And what about the extent, like the extent of all the hate coming towards Sandoval? Like at this point still, I mean,
I was going to say like he was booed at BravoCon. Lala stuck up for him. And Andy Cohen also said like, how long are you going to do this, guys, man? Like,
well, I think one of the things that I don't understand is there seems to be this notion. And there was a question directed to us at the producers panel about him benefiting from this. Like sort of, don't you think that Rachel was the victim from this? And don't you think that he's cashed out and has benefited and everyone else taking advantage of this? Like, how so? How do you think? Like, you know, I think that he did something that he shouldn't have done, you know, so clearly everyone can agree on that. But I also think that he has had a comeuppance, you know, that is certainly commensurate with that. Yeah. Right. And I think but we all know the story at this point. So I just don't know what more there is to say.
And also, I know this is not a Bravo show, but I watched Special Forces. I've been watching that. And you can see a broken man coming in, like wanting to get his ass kicked. Like you can feel a side to him where I'm like, okay, listen.
He's a real person. And I think that's the hardest thing, I think, in making these shows is, and certainly it's something we wrestle with as producers, where I think the audience invests because these are real people. But then I almost think, because like we were saying before, using sort of the sporting analogy, then I think it can dehumanize people a little bit. And yeah. I think that's really tough. And I think that no matter how strong you are, no matter how much you tell yourself that it isn't real and these people don't know you, it's very hard not to take that in. And I think if you're Tom Sandoval and everywhere you go, you're that guy, I think that's really hard on anyone.
Especially when, why am I blanking on his name, is now getting to be this best guy human ever, Raquel's ex. Why?
Oh, James.
James.
Yeah.
James Kennedy.
I mean, it's confusing to most.
It is confusing.
But that goes to the fickleness too, right?
Right. Yeah. Like we all forget so that then we can. I know.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
We all forget.
Well, we see the hate towards Tom kind of change or turn a corner next season.
The group shifts, and so there are some unlikely friendships emerge, and there's real conversations about all of this, and it's very raw. And so I think you said, I'm utterly fascinated by it. We do break the fourth wall a bunch to acknowledge the situation that we're in. Yeah. And we have to acknowledge that the real world is and kind of, fandom is a part large of the fact that Tom and Ariana live in the same house together, but they have very different lives. And so we have to acknowledge the real world, to be able to fully delve into that.
Yeah, I just think the amount of hate he's getting is just so nasty. He's a human being, people. Like he did something wrong. And I feel like he's handling it well.
He's tougher than I am. He's stronger than I am. That's for sure.
He for sure is.
Yeah.
And then kind of just because we know we're running out of time, what do we want to ask him? What should be our final thing that we dig into, Alex?
Now on Bravo's Hot Mic, are you going to be interviewing ex-housewives, current housewives, producers of the housewives? Who are you going to have as guests?
So all of those. So current cast, former cast, producers, network executives, anyone who contributes to making the shows. And then also celebrity super fans, anyone who has some sort of insight into this world, this bubble that we're in. I also want to hear from the audience what they want us to talk about, right? And so what they want demystified, happy to talk about all of it. And really, like I said, it got to the point where as much as we have tried not to, as production, be the story, clearly we are to some extent the story, and people want to know how the shows are really made. And so we felt like it was time to open up the kimono, so to speak. Why does that sound disgusting?
It sounds dirty.
Sounds like a lot. But I think also something that is interesting is within every group of women on every franchise, there's multiple producers in the mix, and there are ones that different women connect with.
Yes.
So then they have these trust systems with certain people. And I think even if you guys digging into that and talking to different producers within each show is so cool too, because you can see the relationship between the person that you're talking to sometimes, and you're like, okay, she hates him. Mm-hmm. She's actually mad at him, not the woman that she's actually talking to. Like, we've had moments like that.
Do you have a dream guest? Andy Cohen or?
Well, yeah, it definitely, he'll do it. And
rhymes with Eddie Mellencamp. Schmellencamp. Rhymes with Schmetty Schmellencamp.
Yeah.
He's been dying. It's like been sliding into my DMs. I'm like, enough already.
I'm not doing it.
I told you I'm too busy. The other problem.
Stop calling me. Yeah.
Booked and busy.
I think the fun thing for me will be to give voice to people who have a lot to say that you otherwise might not hear from. So I think it's the, showrunners and post EPs and those kinds of people who I think can get into the nitty gritty of the process in a way that people want to know, that will, hopefully debunk conspiracy theories on Reddit.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Gosh.
Well, there's no better person to do it than you, Alex. You've been here since the very beginning.
And you have made some incredible television, and we love watching and recapping it, even though we cause you so many problems. Please make sure you guys find Bravo's Hot Mic with Alex Baskin, you know, from the ice cream.
When he's not scooping ice cream,
the ice cream mogul. You the ice cream.
He's got a huge trust fund. He's
he's, no, I always
he's
say
paying for his own pod.
I always say if my parents had worked harder, I wouldn't have to do this.
Right? Do we have a launch date?
November 14th.
November 14th. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
All right. We can't wait because Tamara will be the first guest and we get all the juice.
We're going to have to recap that. Put that on our list of things to recap.
I can't wait to recap that.
God. Yep. We'll put you in those headlines, Alex.
Can't wait. You've already been in the headlines a good amount, so this is good. We get some
more. Like, can you believe Alex Baskin said this?
There's going to be a great tit for tat where then I'm going to go back and I'm going to have to respond to what you guys have said, and it's just going to be this endless loop.
I mean, recapping her own interviews.
Yeah, I can change that narrative.
Oh, God. You and your narratives.
All right. Well, thank you guys. We appreciate everybody taking the time. Keep tuning in. And we will be back next week to recap all the other shows that y'all will be airing.
Don't forget about Beverly Hills Season 1 Flashback.
They have a special guest joining us, but I haven't been able to check my phone to see if she said yes.
Good.
Bye.
Bye.
You like to watch new stuff, right? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time.
Like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama.
A new season of The Kardashians starring, well, The Kardashians, of course.
And Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean.
It's all new, and it's streaming now on Hulu.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. And this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.